Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Good Monday afternoon, Jake, and great to be back with you. Got some different in the house today. Producing the program, Kyle Brown. Jake Heaps is Wednesdays. You know, it's July. It's the way things are. We're all trying here. The baseball started before the. And so we can all be accounted for to get out there. Hopefully, have, you know.
All right. And Tom, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to take over for 1 second and read in the top story while we fix the audio just a little bit. Thanks for hanging out with us, you guys, and being patient. So all intro, our biggest two stories of the day, and then Tom's going to jump back in because I know you got some fiery opinions, especially on our second, because I saw a poll that you put out on Twitter. So the first story broke just before we started our show, and that would be Adam Schefter saying that the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes have reached an agreement on a 10-year contract extension. I can't remember. I mean, text in Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line 710-710 if you can remember a contract even being close to as long as this one. Now, the number's obviously going to be astronomical. We don't know that yet. But, Tom, the closest I can think of is Calvin Johnson signing a 7-year extension, which was effectively an 8-year deal, back in 2012. At the time, that was making everyone's, you know, minds go crazy. But I knew that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs would break the bank. I wasn't expecting a 10-year deal. It's like baseball contract stuff.
Yeah, it is, except the difference, Stacey, is that when it's a 10-year deal for somebody like Trout or Albert Pujols or Cano, you know, those kinds of contracts, it's all guaranteed. I mean, we see 10-year deal here. We haven't gotten the details. I'm sure they'll all come out here over the next hour or so. But the only way it really benefits Patrick Mahomes, I mean, there's the show of it, right? 10 years. Wow. This guy, you know, we all know he's the best quarterback in the game or close to it, but he's got to be guaranteed. I mean, Kirk Cousins got some guaranteed money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes has got to have at least some of this guaranteed, I think, for it to really have the impact on future deals that we think it might have. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be that kind of special Patrick Mahomes quarterback coming along in the next 5 years, but I want to know how much of it is guaranteed. You know, is it most? Is it half? Is it a third? Like, what is it there? Because if it's not, if it's just the usual amount guaranteed, but it happens to be for 10 years, it's
right.
Like,
well,
okay. I mean, what else would you have expected Kansas City to do?
Yeah, what I would, I saw this from ESPN's Mina Kimes, although I was also wondering if this would be the case. I remember when the Seahawks and Russell Wilson were negotiating their contract extension, there was discussions over whether or not Russell Wilson would want part of his salary tied to a percentage of the cap, because it's hard to project in 10 years how much money NFL teams are going to have to spend. If you had, this is taking out consideration for how COVID will affect the cap. I know that it will, but hypothetically, you were looking at over $200 million in cap space next year. Who knows what it's going to look like in 2029, 2030, 2031, which would be where this contract goes through. So I wonder if he did have a percentage attached to the cap, say, hey, in 2029, I want my salary to be 18% of the cap, no matter what number that is. I wonder how that's going to affect contracts that other players sign. Like, I don't know that a Dak Prescott is going to come in and get that money, but I mean, you have to wonder if there's going to be other quarterbacks that push for that.
Is that a good investment for the team? I mean, I know it's Patrick Mahomes, but if you're going to, if you're going to tie it to the salary cap over the course of 10 years in football, I mean, in baseball, it's bad enough. And that's not, it's not nearly as rough of a game. But you saw Cano and Pujols. Those are bad deals. They just are, because they don't get awarded to a player until they're much, much older, right? Or they're, I mean, until they're, say, 31. But then over 10 years, you know, the last three of the years of that contract is garbage. You just sort of eat that.
Yeah.
In the case of a football player, I mean, I look at Russell Wilson. He's been here almost 10 years, injury-free, essentially. But he's the exception to that rule. Mahomes has already had some bad injuries. He's been out there most of the time. But this seems, again, we'll get the details on it later. We're just speculating on how much of this 10-year deal might be tied to the cap. But if it is, that's really risky on the part of Kansas City. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I need to correct. Someone texted in to let me know that Michael Vick signed a 10-year deal. I forgot about that. I was looking at like huge extensions because Calvin Johnson's at one time was the highest paid for a non-quarterback. But obviously, there are quarterbacks out there who may have gotten longer deals. So, yes, stand corrected. Vizyard Seltzer text line. Michael Vick was one of them. But obviously, his worth $130 million is absolutely going to be eclipsed by Mahomes.
When did that happen? Did the texter give the year? Like, was it right before he went to
jail? I think it's 2004 is when this
okay,
has
so
it. No, wait, I'll find it. 2004?
Well, it's a bad deal either way.
Yeah. Oh. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that this, I mean, how would you have felt in, God, it was just last year, right? With Russell Wilson in 2019, if they had given him that kind of a deal.
10 years? Well, I don't think he would have. I think part of it is that Patrick Mahomes is not even 25 years old yet, which is insane to think of. But I think that's, you're saying that when he's done with that contract, he'll be turning 35. So.
Okay. And Russell Wilson, had he gotten that deal last year, what was he last year? 31? 30?
Yes. I think 31.
Okay, but I expect him to play at least another 8 years, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
I guess now we're getting into a different conversation.
We are, like, we are.
How much longer do you think your quarterback's going to play? I guess if there's a quarterback worth doing this with,
yeah,
I guess Mahomes is certainly that guy. You probably, though, you could have done that with Russell. I mean, just given how durable he's been, I wouldn't be shocked if he played into his 40s, would you?
No, not at all, especially with the way sports medicine. I remember Brandon Marshall coming in, and he was talking with John Clayton at the time, but there was a big conversation about, hey, have you still got it? And he said, well, I mean, we'll see if I still have it. But one thing that I think people ignore is that sports medicine has come so far that it used to be, 10 years ago, a player playing into his 30s who wasn't a quarterback seemed insane. And now it's like surgeries are better. People recover from injuries that they never would have recovered from before. And so obviously for Brandon Marshall, his career ended up getting curtailed anyways. But I could definitely see someone like Russell Wilson, who takes all of this so seriously, is so dedicated to making sure his body is in absolutely perfect condition. I could absolutely see him playing into his 40s.
And some of it's the luck of the draw. I mean, there's guys like Cam Newton who get hurt and doesn't get the benefit of a lot of calls, right? Think of all the non-calls that should have been made, like roughing the passer calls that didn't go his way. And he just ended up getting beat up after a while. I mean, Russell Wilson hasn't really had to deal with that, although he's been drilled a fair amount given the bad offensive lines that they've had around here. But for whatever reason, he seems pretty durable. He hasn't had to undergo any of those sorts of surgical procedures, things that, that sports medicine does have to offer. Hopefully he's never in a position where he does. But, man, a 10-year deal, I don't
know. But imagine if it was to get Patrick Mahomes. He's special, man. I mean, I think Russell Wilson is too, but part of it's a timing thing. Maybe Russell Wilson would be looking at this kind of attention if he was 24 again and entering the league in a pass heavy offense.
Yeah, for somebody who's that young, I suppose. But see, the thing is, would Russell have gotten that kind of a deal for his first contract?
No.
I mean, it's weird saying that he hasn't done enough, given that he went to two Super Bowls and won one by the time that first contract came around. But
I think they have different styles. I I don't think that makes one better than the other. But I think that also, I wonder if Russell Wilson would be, I think it would be a different kind of conversation if he was in Andy Reid's offense in Kansas City with the weapons Patrick Mahomes has. That's not the reason Patrick Mahomes is good. Patrick Mahomes is great regardless and would be good with another team. But I think that that conversation would be much more interesting were Russell Wilson to have a chance to have the kind of numbers that Patrick Mahomes does.
But how's Patrick Mahomes going to win another Super Bowl without Antonio Brown, Stacey?
That's a great question, Tom. A great question.
How does any team win without win a Super Bowl without Antonio Brown? How does that happen? Oh, okay. We're going to get into that a little bit later. I put out a poll on the Twitter there with a couple of different scenarios, four different scenarios for the Seahawks concerning Antonio Brown and Jadeveon Clowney. And it has to do with whether they could end up with both of them, one of them, neither of them. So you can go to my Twitter there, at Tom Wassel, and vote if you wish. We're going to come back to that later. I'm sure that as the hour or maybe as the day goes on here, we'll get some more details concerning the Patrick Mahomes deal. Wow, 10 years. That is definitely interesting.
And it could
be 12. Talk to the Graz. Huh?
I was going to say, Adam Schefter said that he also has the 2 years remaining on his contract, so it kicks in as part of an extension. So it's really a 12-year contract in total.
Okay.
So
good to know.
Just so
thanks,
you know.
Schefty. Hey, by the way, is the Graz in all week? Is that the text I got this morning? Oh, Ashley can't talk. She's in Idaho.
never... Oh, no. You can just look at us on Teams.
Never mind. Yeah, that's right. She may not even be listening. She's staring at me blankly. It's all right. It's all right. I think Mike might be off. He's either off today or the week. I don't know. The Graz will be in, though, if he's out. Also, Shannon Dreher coming up at 1:15. A lot of optimism from the skipper about one guy in particular. We'll be talking about him coming up at 12:45. Right now, though, I have three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 12 after 12, Tom Wassel's burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Enough with the we gotta protect the kids nonsense.
Stacey, all right, Curtis, are you there, man? I'm gonna have to have you join in because I don't wanna. All right, good. hey, can you show yourself on Microsoft Teams so I can look at it?
Reveal yourself.
I was eating my ramen, so I decided to save you from... I decided to spare you from seeing that visual.
There he is.
There okay. I am.
Put the ramen down. Thank you.
It's good ramen.
All right, question one for Stacey. Would you ever take part in a hot dog eating contest or an eating contest of any kind?
Would I take part in a hot dog eating contest? Yeah. Yes. What?
You would?
I mean, the thing is, I always overestimate how much I can eat. Like for 4th of July this past weekend, I was really confident. I got all of this food and I made myself sick because I was just, I needed to make sure that I ate all of it. So I think I could eat 3 hot dogs. And I think that if you're honest with yourself, the general you can eat way less than you think you can. I think the average person could pit back maybe 5. Maybe.
Oh.
Max.
Curtis?
I could do an eating contest. I wouldn't pick hot dogs, though.
What would you pick?
I'd probably pick, like, burritos or tacos or something like that.
That seems even harder.
Or slices of pizza. I'm just not a huge hot dog fan.
But they're
I would
small
do ice cream
enough
sandwiches.
Where you could eat a lot of them. That's
true.
Thing.
But...
like if you go to over to Whole Foods, you get one of those burritos. It takes you like a week to eat it. They're
oh, yeah.
too big.
I'm you know? I'm all about it though. I think I went to a Tacoma Rainier game one time where they had a hot dog eating contest on top of the dugout, like mid inning. I think somebody put down like 7. Within like you know how long the middle of an inning is in baseball. It's like a minute and a half. It was impressive.
Halfway through the second, I'd be like, I overestimated this.
And then afterwards, they were throwing the leftover hot dogs to the crowd.
Out of a hot dog cannon?
No, just disgusting. Like out of a bag. It was great.
It's not hygienic. Question two.
Number two.
All right, guys. What is today? July 6th?
Okay. Yes.
What's the cutoff day, Stacey, for lighting off leftover fireworks?
I would say by tomorrow, end of day tomorrow, get it all out of your system. Curtis is shaking his
end
head.
End of business it's tomorrow.
End of business yesterday. Day tomorrow. Please get it all. But the thing is, like, sometimes you buy a lot. Fireworks are expensive. And I look at it as it's still technically, it's kind of like Christmas, right? Like, this would be... Black Friday isn't after Christmas.
Fireworks
this would be
like
the
milk,
lingering
though. They're not
days.
Like bread. They don't go bad.
It's kind of like saying, like,
for next year.
When do you have to take your Christmas tree down? You don't have to do it the day after Christmas. You can have a little bit of the holiday linger, the flavor of the holiday.
Here's the problem with that, okay? With the Christmas tree or whatever kinds of decorations you have up, you're not disturbing your neighbors or your neighbors' dogs who are terrified. Terrified! Of the boom booms that are going on in the air. Okay, so you got to be considerate.
I need to tell you something. I've never felt older than I did this past weekend when we were all in the yard. Me and three friends were in the yard playing dominoes. Love dominoes. And these kids that probably were like these like 13-year group of like 13 or 14-year-old boys. I'm sure like just from the neighborhood. They're just like kids. They go on top of this pile of concrete where they're doing construction and start setting off fireworks. And it is admittedly a little dangerous because the fireworks are going off at road level. Like if you're a car, the firework is going off next to your car. So obviously it's dangerous. They shouldn't be doing that. But my friend stands up and puts her hands on her hips. We're all watching and we're like, oh my gosh, these kids. And she goes, hey, knock it off. And they stop and walk away. And I've never felt more... like, get off my lawn than I did in that moment. And then we went back to playing dominoes and went to bed early. It was great. It was wonderful.
You went back to playing dominoes just like an old man.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I told you this would happen to you someday. Question three.
Number three.
Guys, Felix isn't going to play this year. He's opted out of the 2020 season. Concerns over COVID, etc. How big a shame is that? That Felix isn't going to be playing at all.
I mean, it's a bummer. I don't know, you know, what kind of season he would be set to have in any normal year. I think we were all saying, like, can he make this, you know, roster? Can he break spring with the team? What's this going to look like? But in general, I think he's one of those rare players that leaves, you know, where fans think he leaves your team and goes to another team and you're still kind of rooting for him. At least most people I know. Yeah. So it's just kind of a bummer to see his career affected for this year. But I don't know that it curtails, like, you know, it's not like, oh, there's a Cy Young chances.
Curtis, you sad? You shedding tears back there?
No, I'm not. At maximum, it would have been like, what, 11 starts for Felix if he were part of a five-man rotation? What's 11 starts, really, in the grand scheme of things? We're not going to be missing a ton from Felix this season. Now, you do wonder if this will impact, you know, future years if he just decides, hey, you know what? I don't mind taking off time. You know what? I'm done with baseball. I don't need this. Then I think that becomes the question here. But I don't think we're going to be missing Felix Hernandez in the 2020 season. You know,
now he's done.
He's done for the 2020 season, yeah.
Yeah, he's done forever.
Oh, really?
He's done. It's over.
You've decided?
Yeah.
They've been texting back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget how close
the other day,
with Felix.
The other day I was talking on the phone with him. I was like, bro, what's going on?
Yeah,
2021,
yeah, yeah.
Are we going to see you? He's like, no.
Right.
It's like,
right.
If I'm not going to do it this year, I'm not going to do it next year. What do you think? I'm crazy?
What I hope is that someone takes this story and runs with it. They're like, Felix Hernandez tells local sports radio host that he's not coming back in 2021.
Tom Wassel with the final word on Felix's career.
I was talking to my guy yesterday.
Well, there was doubt as to whether or not he would come back this year at all. And then the Braves picked him up and it was like, all right, well, like you said, Stacey, will we see him make the team out of spring training? Like, he might not have made it at all, in which case we wouldn't have seen him in 2020 anyway. But, you know, for Felix honks out there, everybody's sitting out there in the King's Court, you don't want to get one last look at him. Do you think that they would have had the King's Court down there in Atlanta when they have? I doubt it, but, you know. Would have been kind of fun.
Well, what's interesting is that on the Mariners' original schedule this year, the Braves were supposed to come to Seattle around Memorial Day weekend. Would Seattle have had a King's Court for an opposing pitcher.
No way. No way, man.
Can you be so sure?
That would have been wacky. Come on.
Get the whole left field corner decked out in Braves red and blue. Doing the tomahawk chop for each K.
I don't think so. All right, a story. We've only got a minute here for this, but we're going to get to it later. So over the weekend, the long weekend, Antonio Brown, there was a video that surfaced from, it was Antonio Brown and Russell Wilson working out. By the way, I wanted to ask Jake, how did he not get in that video? Like, doesn't he oversee everything that Russell does? Like, if Russell's playing catch with Antonio Brown, shouldn't Jake Heaps be present for that, Stacey?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he came back up here because he and Brooke celebrated their anniversary or something, and it was his birthday. I don't know. Maybe he came back up for a little break to hang out with us.
But that's the most important workout Russell Wilson has had in, like, I don't know, all off season. I would think Jake would be there just to be like, all right, let's throw this guy some curveballs, see if he can catch it. I don't know. All right, coming up next, we got the Graz. He's in for Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
We're glad to have the Graz in with us in place of Mike Salk. You know, before we get to sports and Patrick Mahomes and Antonio Brown and baseball and so forth, I got to ask the Graz something. First of all, how are you, Graz? You feeling okay?
I'm feeling good, Tommy Gunn. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm just dynamite. I enjoyed my 4th of July weekend. But one of the reasons for that, I watched Hamilton. I streamed it on Disney Plus. I was just blown away by it. I mean, for a million different reasons. But I'm wondering, have you seen it? And if so, what did you think?
I wish I had. I haven't. I'm dying to see it. When I went to college and high school in New York, I got into the habit of going to Broadway shows. So I envy you. I'm sure it was fantastic. And I'm sorry, though, I didn't see it. I haven't seen it yet.
I'm bringing it up right now because I'm recommending it to you. You got to understand, if you're listening out there, over the years, Graz has recommended a number of movies to me that I had never seen for some reason, and he's never missed. Like, he's never steered me wrong. So I'm just returning the favor. You will love this. You will
This is the used cars of theater recommendations?
Used cars and lucky numbers. Yeah, exactly. You'll love it, though. You will. I guarantee it. All right. Did you see the news that Patrick Mahomes got a 10-year extension from the Kansas City Chiefs? Now, we haven't got the figures on this yet, Graz, so we don't know what's guaranteed and what isn't. But just what's your reaction to that, 10 years?
I think the reaction is it's a smart move by Kansas City. I'll be curious to see what the numbers are and all the kind of complicated things that will be in there when regarding cap space and increases and what it can ultimately be worth. But wrapping up a guy like Patrick Mahomes long term, it's hard for me to come up with a scenario where that's a bad idea, where the Chiefs have made a terrible mistake by entrusting their future into the guy that just won the Super Bowl for them in his second year of playing quarterback. So on surface, like you said, we haven't seen the numbers yet, but the numbers would have to be horribly bad for me to think this is anything but a good move, and I'd be surprised if anyone thought it was a bad move.
Can you think of another player where everyone just very quickly, almost unanimously agreed that he was the best? I guess in the NFL. We'll keep it NFL specific. But it seems like there's always been much more of a debate over the top guys, and it feels like every single list that would exist now is like Patrick Mahomes number one.
It kind of does, and we kind of bristle a little bit here in Seattle because Russell Wilson's pretty good himself. But when you said that, Stacey, the minute you said it, I thought of Magic Johnson signing his 25-year, $25 million deal, which was a big deal at the time with the Lakers because it was obvious what he was. In the NFL, the only guy I can think that splashed as big as Mahomes was probably Dan Marino, who threw 48 touchdown passes his second year, and the Dolphins went to the Super Bowl, but, he never got back. I mean, I don't know if that's a cautionary tale or not, but he's the last guy I can remember who splashed that big, and instantly people said, well, geez, this is the man.
Knowing what we know about Russell Wilson's last 5 years, what if the Seahawks were to have committed a 10-year extension to Russell on his first contract? Do you think that would have been a good move?
That's an interesting question because, you know, you got to compare that and contrast the two. The answer is probably no, only because, you know, Mahomes is kind of, you know, and, you know, it has to do with Andy Reid and has to do with what the Chiefs are. You know, immediately became, you know, the focal point of their offense instantly and, you know, was record setting in doing it, where Russell Wilson, incredibly efficient, incredibly effective. You know, the focal point of the offense his first couple of years was Marshawn Lynch. So I think it would be a little more, I don't want to say controversial, but a little more surprising if the Seahawks had done it because, you know, Russell at that point was still evolving as a quarterback, you know, in a weird way for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, how much more up is there for him? You know, he's won the Super Bowl. He set these records. I mean, again, I use the Marino example, 48 touchdown passes in his second season. I mean, you know, for Mahomes, you can make the argument that it's hard for him to have more upside. So, I mean, that's the difference between him and Russell Wilson, where you anticipated a tremendous amount of upside with Russell. So I don't think it would have been the same thing, no.
We're going to be talking a bit later in the show when we go over some of the news from around the NFL about the pressure now on Washington to change their team name and their announcement that they're going to be having internal discussions about what to do. This has been a controversy, though, and people have been calling for them to change it for, I mean, years and years and years. This isn't a recent thing, but do you feel like something might actually happen this time around, or do you think they'll just try to dodge it?
It seems impossible in the current environment they'll try and dodge it. And you know, I mentioned this to Clayton when he brought it up. You know, this reminds me of when they had the late Governor Mario Cuomo of New York on the baseball miniseries, and he was talking about Jackie Robinson breaking the color line, and his line was too late. I mean, it was too late. You know, it certainly was nice that it happened, but 1947, you know, after you'd had a couple World Wars and everything like that, that's when you break the color line. I mean, this Washington thing, you're right, Stacey, it's been an issue for 20, 30 years. It's come up as an issue. And I would say that despite resistance in Washington, D.C. from one particular guy, I think that, yes, the answer to your question, the short answer is absolutely that there's much more momentum this time than there's ever been. And I would be, at this point now, I'd be surprised if it didn't happen.
You know what, though? Stacey brought up a good point before the show. I mean, the only way that they could really force Snyder to change the name is for other owners to put pressure on him. I was looking into why the Washington Bullets changed their name. It's because the owner insisted on it. He himself was uncomfortable with it, so he changed it to Wizards. Snyder has been defined in this whole thing. Do you think it's going to take other owners to pressure him, or do you think societal pressure might get to him?
I think, you know, you're right, Tom. You know, the other owners are not going to pressure them. They've been conspicuous by their silence over the last month on a variety of issues. But I think that the league will apply pressure. And I think Roger Goodell in his new position, his new reality is going to apply pressure. So I think that may be a tipping point, but that's a great point by Stacey. I mean, normally it would have to be fellow owners that would do it. And if one or two speak out, yes, but they haven't been speaking out on anything. So it would have to be pressure from the league that would make it happen. And we'll see. I mean, he hasn't committed to anything yet. I mean, I won't be shocked if it doesn't happen, but I'll be a little surprised because it does feel like times are definitely different now than they've been in the past.
Now, these are two different cases I'm going to bring up here, Graz. More evidence with the Greg Hardy one. But you all but abandoned the Dallas Cowboys after Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I almost said
Jimmy Johnson right after Jerry Jones got him. So with whatever's looming over Antonio Brown's head, how would you feel if the Seahawks went after him?
I'm 100% against it. I don't understand it. I don't understand the point of it. I appreciate the football playing ability that he has, but to me, the other issues far outweigh his value. And I'm talking about on the football side of things. You've already got a couple of accomplished wide receivers. So you're bringing in a disruptive element who's been in a lot of trouble. And I just, I guess I see the fascination with his football skills, but to me, I'm not for it. I would be against it. And I'm surprised that people are for it. And I know some are because, you know, you want to be better, period. But, I think the guy's had plenty of chances and I think he's shown himself, just speaking football wise, to be, the kind of distraction that can really do a team in. I mean, you can't be effective in Pittsburgh and, you know, New England gives up on you. I mean, I'm against it. I mean, I'm 100% against it.
You know, what's a funny thing, Graz, in the NFL is that the best players, skill players, don't necessarily translate to a Super Bowl appearance or a win. I mean, mm-hmm. How many Super Bowls did the Steelers win with him? They won one in a year where he caught 16 passes because he was a rookie. You know, in the NFL, in playoff season, it's kind of, you know, this team's more hurt than the other one, home field. There's all these other factors that come into play than, say, a wide receiver. My argument is against, you know, certainly the allegations hanging over his head, but also that I don't think they need him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they seem to be stocked at wide receiver, and the only position that can make that kind of a difference is quarterback play. I mean, in football, there's too many guys involved. So, I mean, I don't believe for a second that this is the missing piece to be a Super Bowl contender. I think they are a Super Bowl contender. I think there's a potential for a little bit of gain, but, I mean, also at great expense. And look, I mean, I want to see DK Metcalf blossom into being the number one guy. And there's got to be lots of passes left over for Tyler Lockett, you know, obviously. So I'm with you, Tom. I don't see the need football wise, and I find the whole thing curious. And look, we'll see if it happens or not. I mean, I'm not certain that it will, but boy, it's interesting seeing he's doing all those workouts, though.
Yeah, it is. All right, Graz, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Appreciate you coming on.
Bye, Graz.
Bye, guys.
All right, as I said before, I guess when I was talking at the top of the show, my mic was cutting out or something, but I do have a poll up on Twitter, at Tom Wassel. Which scenario do you like the most? Seahawks get Clowney, Seahawks get Brown, Seahawks get Brown and Clowney, or Seahawks get neither? Believe it or not, Stacy, I think that the Seahawks could get to the Super Bowl under any of those scenarios. I'm not sure that any one of them necessarily helps them so much mm-hmm. or makes that big of a difference. I mean, it seems like it would on paper, but the way that that might play out on the field, I'm not convinced that it would.
You know what's weird about this poll? I voted in it. I think that the least popular answer might be the most likely.
Yeah. The least popular being that they get Antonio Brown.
You can't say
that might be the most likely scenario.
You got to vote to see the results. Shh. Go vote in the poll.
Well, that's okay. They can go contribute. Yeah. Kids like to vote, don't they? Rock the vote, yo. MTV, baby. All right, coming up next, we've got some good news from the skipper of the Mariners. He's very excited about one particular baseball player, as am I. Talk about that next. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
Coming up at 1:15 today, we're going to talk to Shannon Dreher. And I don't know, Stacy, would you call Shannon an optimistic person?
I think Shannon is very pragmatic, but I think that she's not pessimistic.
I think you kind of have to be optimistic to cover the Mariners as long as she has. But I just want to get her temperature on, you know, how she feels this season's going to go. I mean, if you look at Twitter for 5 minutes at a time, not even that long, you're going to see some player, baseball player, saying that he's not playing because of COVID. I mean, we got news over the weekend. David Price is not going to play. Nick Markakis of the Braves, he's going to be out. We already talked about Felix. I just don't know how this looks. Like, how is this going to go? Like, even if players don't opt out on their own, what's going to keep these seasons going, whether it's baseball, NBA, whatever? You know, is it going to be a matter of testing? Is it players observing proper protocol? Like, is it the fact that no fans are there? Like, what's it going to be? I don't want to be pessimistic about it because I want sports back in the worst way. I mean, we all do. We really, I mean, we do. But, man, I just don't – we're just – I feel like we're in uncharted territory – and we're just sort of sailing blind here through a storm. But, yeah, you know,
I think
hopefully good things come out of it.
I think the key is going to be, is it called contact tracing? Essentially tracing wherever an outbreak comes from. So if you have an uncontrolled outbreak where you can't figure out which players got sick first, and all of a sudden you've got 15 guys in a clubhouse that are sick and you don't know how many others are because you can't tell who the first couple guys were and who they came into contact with, then I think you run into a problem. I remember with his TED Talks or Time Talks YouTube interview that he did, Adam Silver was talking about the circumstances in which they might halt the NBA season as it continues right here in at the end of July. And he said that one of the things might be like if you can't figure out where an outbreak comes from. So I think that's going to be really important is, like you said, routine testing in order to the second you find out that a player is sick, immediately find out who that player came into contact with and try to prevent an uncontrolled spread.
We'll hear from the skipper of the Mariners here in just a second, but I wanted to read you something from Adam Schefter. Other notable, like seriously long-term contracts. Again, the news today, Patrick Mahomes awarded a 10-year extension from the Kansas City Chiefs. Donovan McNabb got a 12-year deal in 2002 with the Eagles. He played with them through 2000 and I want to say 9. So it lasted that long. Brett Favre actually got a lifetime deal with the Packers in 2001. He played with them through 2007. A couple others. Drew Bledsoe, 10 years with, oh my God, 10 years with the Patriots in 2001, the year that he got hurt.
Oh, no.
And Brady took over for him. I don't know how they ended up paying that offer, if they ended up trading it to the, where did he go? Buffalo after that?
Yeah.
So Buffalo must have absorbed most or all of that. And then the one you mentioned before, Michael Vick, 10 years with the Falcons in 2004. So not unprecedented that this type of thing would happen. Favre in 2001, though, I mean, he had already been in the league about 10 years at that point. So that one, same with, well, Bledsoe,
well,
about 8 years. So
it's unprecedented in that the structure of it might be different. So earlier when we were saying that a portion of it or all of it might be tied to the salary cap, Adam Schefter literally a minute ago said there aren't any official numbers right now, but he's spoken to multiple sources who believe it will be tied to a percentage of the salary cap for each season, which would be unprecedented.
Definitely. Yep. All right. Let's hear from Scott Servais. He's excited about the same guy I am. The guy who I think is going to carry this team should he prove that he has the ability. Kyle Lewis. Go ahead. Roll cut 6, Curtis.
I mentioned it early on. He's one of the guys that stood out to me. I just thought he was moving so differently, watching him shagging fly balls in the outfield. And that's a direct reflection of the work that he put in, you know, while we were down at home. And he took it serious. Yeah, I know he's got a speed coach, a strength coach, hitting coach. You know, he dialed in with all those people, and he looks much different.
He's got all those private coaches. Is that, man, is that, maybe we'll have to ask Shannon. Is it common for a baseball player to have three different coaches? He said strength coach, speed coach, and what else? Oh, a hitting coach? Is that what he said in there? Man, is it that common for all baseball players to have their own instructors that, like, it seems like a bit much.
I don't
know. It sounds
like
too many cooks in the kitchen.
Well,
isn't it?
It's so interesting hearing the different approaches people are taking. Like J.P. Crawford interviewed with the media via a Zoom call. It might have been yesterday or the day before. And he said that his setup was he hitting in his living room? It was something really weird where I was like, how are you doing this? His fiance was helping him field grounders. So it's like some people have, you know, three trainers and other people have your fiance throw balls to you. I mean, it's really, who can say?
Hey, hon, can you put that ball back up on the tee?
Exactly.
tell you what, even with a net, I'm not sure I'd be hitting balls around. Or you know what, though? Maybe J.P. Crawford has a living room big enough to swing a bat. I know I don't.
Oh,
yeah,
I vaulted keep a base. Ceilings.
Right. I mean, is he making big bucks yet? I don't know. But I sleep with a baseball bat right next to the bed because, you know, there's shady
what?
Characters walking around.
Are you
here.
Kidding me? Have you ever gotten up with your baseball bat because you heard something?
Yes.
What was it?
I have. And not too long ago, actually. I don't know what I heard, Stacey. I mean, like, I'd like to say fireworks.
What if it was
a
ghost?
It wasn't July 4th. A ghost? Well, a baseball bat's not going to do me too much.
See, that's my ultimate point is that, like, yeah, it protects you against someone breaking into your house. But what are you going to do if it's a ghost, Tom?
I'll just surrender. I mean, you got to do what the ghost wants.
Right.
That's
you have
how
no choice.
Goes. Yeah, but you know, you never know if there's going to be ruffians about. You know, you got to have a baseball bat in hand.
Sure.
It's better than the alternative. Kyle Lewis last year, by the way, 6 home runs, 13 RBIs in just 18 games. That is the one bright spot I remember from last year in September, just turning on the TV to watch him hit. He was as close as a thing, closest to must-see TV as they had last year. And look, some guys come up, they hit big. Jesus Montero, if you remember that name, when he was with the Yankees, when he first came up, he played 1 month with them, 1 month, and had a monster September. Hit over 300. I think he hit 4 home runs. Then he gets traded to the Mariners. Nothing. Falls out of shape, the whole thing. I hope Kyle Lewis doesn't end up going that way. But, yeah, a lot of reasons to be excited about the Mariners this year. Hopefully we can see some of these young players. Hopefully there's time. Hopefully there's a reason to actually get them in there. All right, we're going to switch things up just a little bit. 4 down territory is going to come up in 5 minutes. Shannon Dreyer at 1:15. We'll ask her about all this stuff coming up next. 710 ESPN Seattle.